ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शक्तिपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Yesterday, toward the end of the talk, I was talking about Mother Ganga, and I'll begin this one with a quote from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 16, text 20. Yas yangri pankaja rajo tirtha tirtham. The dust of Krishna's lotus feet is the source of holiness for all places of pilgrimage. So that's especially Ganga. Because, no, wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong one. Sorry. Tirthanam Shrotasam Ganga. Sorry, that's 11th canto, chapter 16, text 20. Among the holy places, and among flowing things, I am the Ganga. Then the other one, which is actually canto 10, chapter 68, text 37, that is specifically why Ganga is so exalted, because the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna is carried by her throughout the three worlds. Other holy places, they may not have such a direct connection, or holy rivers, but they're all considered, the holy rivers are all considered expansions of Ganga. Now you may say, well, what about Yamuna? Yamuna is more than Ganga. Well, you could say it's something like Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. That's true. In one sense, he appears through the agency of Vishnu within this world, but then he is the source also. Then they're all eternal also. It's beyond mundane logic. But it's understandable at the same time. If one agrees to turn off one's mundane logic, then it becomes understandable. Another translation of the word Tirthapada from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 33, the Lord whose lotus feet are the source of all virtues or holiness. So that very much fits with the verse, yasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kato mahanguna manorite nasati dhavato bahi. A devotee of Krishna who serves him without any other desire means he's in touch with the lotus feet of Krishna. So Krishna is the lodestone or the measure of holiness. He is the pavitram paramam, the supreme pure. He is Gunanidhi, the ocean of all qualities. So one who is in contact with Krishna, he automatically becomes full of all good qualities. On the other hand, persons who are not in contact with Krishna, even though they may appear to have qualities, but they're not really qualities. It's just their present present phase of their peregrination throughout the material world. Sometimes someone's very good, sometimes very bad, sometimes in between. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividham. Trividham, what is it? Trividham karmana phalam. Thank you. I should take him with me. He knows the verses. There are three kinds of karma phals: good, bad, and mixed. Desirable, undesirable, and mixed. So, in the same way, there are good people, bad people, and some in between. Although Krishna says that there are two kinds, aren't there? Dvo bhuto sarge loke smin daiva asura evacha. Two basic types, the good and the bad. But someone is good and then they can become bad. Someone is bad, they become good. And it's just going round and round in the cycle. But one who is in contact with the lotus feet of Krishna, he is situated in goodness. And that is an eternal position. That's yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. One doesn't fall from that position. Or even if circumstantially one may fall, then because of attachment to the lotus feet of Mukunda, that's only temporary. Do you know that verse? Mentions Mukunda. Navayjano jata. What is it? Navayjano jata katanchana smaren Mukunda sevyangri. I can't remember. Anyway, I can't remember. The verse says that even though a devotee may appear to fall, Mukunda Sevi, one who is serving Mukunda, he may again fall into Sangsmriti, may appear to fall, but he can't forget the lotus feet. Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanang Puna. He can't forget the lotus feet of Mukunda. So even if a devotee appears to fall, it's only temporary. Okay, let's talk a little about the mahatmyas of the holy places. How do we know the holy places are holy? What's the difference between if you go in Vrajamandal and you just go out in a field somewhere, say somewhere between, I don't know, Radha Kund and Varshana, and you'll find people are farming there. You'll find some wild cows and bulls wandering around, quite likely, which happened last time, just a few weeks ago. I was in Rajamandal, because in UP mostly people, well, there's no cow slaughter, and people don't want to keep their old cows and bulls, so they're wandering around here and there. So you may see some wild cows and bulls wandering around. Farmers are not very happy with that. Some buildings, and the men and the women, they're dressed in pretty much the same way as anyone else, but it's Vrajamandal. How can you tell? Well, if you go through a village, people will call out Radhe, Radhe, but actually this time when I went, they called out Hare Krishna. To us, they're calling out Hare Krishna, at least in that village, the name of which I can't remember. So how can you tell the difference? Because we're informed in Shastra. The glories of the holy places are described in various Shastras and constitute a large part of certain Puranas. In Mahabharata also there's a long section. And in the holy places themselves, You can get little booklets in the local languages which tell you about the glories of the holy places extracted from the Purana. That's called the Tirtha Mahatmya. You may go, for instance, to Badrinath, and you'll get Badrinath Mahatmya. Mahatmya, that which explains the importance or the greatness of a place. And that may be also with all the latest news in the last few thousand years. In other words, the Puranas are there given by Vyasadeva. And in the meantime, so many things have happened. Holy people have come, things have taken place. Generally, you won't find so much about the political history, nothing like that. But about the holy people who have visited there. And the temples themselves, is almost always you'll find an inscription, this temple was built by, and they don't give the name of the architect, the king who built it, like this. Although sometimes the architects put also. And then they're not really supposed to, because they're hired for doing that. But they may say, they'll say, see what a wonderful temple I've built, something like that. At the Gauriya Math in Calcutta, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a plinth put there, which you can still see, it's there up to the present day, glorifying Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan for his contribution to the mission. So the Mahatmya, the holy place. If you want to get a Mahatmya of Vrindavan, you'd need to bring a truck. First of all, you'd have to get a whole team of scholars working all their for lifetimes to describe, actually even to describe one drop of dust of Vrindavan. But there's so many. It's just like in Vrajamandala, in Vrindavan town, there are so many places which theoretically, if they were somewhere else, that would be enough to make that place an important place of pilgrimage. And then they're just, you're just wandering around, and then there's one here, another one there, another one. Samadhis of Narottam Das Vishwanath just next to each other, and then Radha Gokulananda temple, and just go a little further, and there's Radharaman temple, and Gopal Bhatta's Samadhi, whatever's left of Seva Kunj, the open area. So therefore it's good to have a guide to the Tirthas. If you go to Vrindavan, you can find Dinabandhu Prabhu, and he'll tell you everything. He knows everything. And I think he must know more than anyone in the world today about the lore of Vrindavan, L-O-R-E, the lore, the culture and everything. You ask him anything, you ask him a little question, and then you'll be there for 45 minutes and he'll tell you something, if he has time, which he usually, he'll tell you so many things. So that was that's the system. The little booklet is there so people can see. And the little Mahatmya will also tell you the things you're supposed to do in the holy place. The places to visit and the benefits you get from following all these things. But the general system is that you find a Tirtha guru or a panda who takes you around and tells you everything. And usually they arrange accommodation and prasadam also. They're very famous Tirthas whose names I've mentioned several times, Prayag, Badrinath, and they're known throughout India. And people come to them. It's not that it's limited. There's this wrong idea being promulgated that South India is different to North India. And it's a different culture. But since time immemorial, people have been going from South India to North India to visit the Ganga, to visit Badrinath. From South India, the Vedanta Deshika, he went to Ramanuja, Shankara. They all went to North India. They didn't say, now I'm in the land of the foreigners. No such thing. And although there may be different kingdoms with different boundaries, and the people would go freely. They may have to pay tax here or there somewhere. Pay the boatman to take them over the river in so many places. But they would go, and up to the present day. One thing I noticed in Dwarka, visited there several times, in the summer, the tourist season, which won't happen this year, but so many buses with Tamil Nadu number plates going to Dwarka. Or if you go in our Bombay temple, Juhu, you'll find people from all over India coming, because I guess it's convenient if you're going north to south or whatever. All over India people are coming, and they don't think I'm... At that time, they don't think I'm a Tamil, or I'm a Telugu, or I'm a Manipuri, or any such thing. They're coming to visit the holy places, and it's open to all. It's a holy place for everyone. In the south of Tamil Nadu, we have Tenkasi, southern Varanasi. Why did they call it, if they're anti-North India, then why did they call it Tenkasi? The king made the temple there for Lord Shiva. And southern, did you still use that word Ten for south in modern Tamil? Yeah, so southern Kashi. It comes out as Tenkasi. So these famous, there's so much, are very, very famous. Actually, there are many, just like Rameshwaram. If you go to Rameshwaram, you'll hear more people speaking in Hindi, Gujarati, Marathi, if you than in Tamil. You know, in Bengalis, everyone goes there from all over India. So there's so many places which are famous throughout India. Well, there was those Chardham and Badrinath, Badrinath, Rameshwaram, Dwarka, Puri, and then Badrinath, and Kedarnath, and Varanasi, and Ayodhya. Here we have Ayodhya Patanam, something like that. So people know, and they have the whole Kamba Ramayana, which is, describes North India, Ayodhya, and then Dandakaranya, and all these places. So there's so many places, especially along the bank of the Ganga. These places are very well. Those places, Varanasi, Haridwar, very famous, and Ayodhya is very famous, and So these are the very, very famous ones, which are visited by people from all over India. And then there are so many local holy places of varying importance. Just like in Gujarat, there's Dhaka. Outside of Gujarat, hardly anyone heard of it. But in Gujarat, it's a major holy place. And then we have in... We have in Tamil Nadu this Trichandur and Palani, isn't it? Yeah, they're only visited by Tamils for Murugan temples. So and again, the Vaishnavas, they also won't visit there, but they're big temples, and so many people go. So they're famous locally, and then there are others which are just very local, the local temples. It's the usual thing when at the end of when a new colony is being built, housing colony, at the end of the street, a little temple is put like that. And people come. It's not exactly a theater in the sense that we usually think of it, but the idea is that we have the houses here, we should have a temple also, even if it's very small. And people who go there to worship, they don't worship with any less faith or reverence than in a major place of pilgrimage that they visit. So the major tirthas especially, there are so many stories about them. Stories means not fairy tales, but narrations from the Puranas and Mahabharata and Ramayana. And then there are more modern ones also. There's like in Rajamandala, we have the stories of Krishna being there, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Vallabhacharya, and then we have at Radha Kund, how Raghunath Das was living there, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Janava Mata, she came there. So there's so many things, apart from the ancient history of how these places came into being. And it goes on updating also. Because there are more and more saintly people who come, and the Lord reveals Himself and reciprocates with so many people, so many great devotees, and sometimes with not very great devotees also, sometimes with what we might think ordinary people. He's independent, as He likes. Someplace the holy person is so famous that he's almost as famous as the deity. And especially I can think of Vitalnath, is there at Pandharpur, but just you can't think of Pandharpur without thinking of Tukaram. And there was already a holy place, but then Tukaram, by praising the Lord there in so many ways with his abhangas, then he contributed to the culture of devotion, which of course goes on to the present day. So actually, when we think of the Sanskrit literature, what do we think of? We think, well, there's the Vedas, with the Vedas, and then there are the sutras, with their commentaries, the Vedangas, the Kavyas, and the Dharma Shastra, Niti Shastra. But actually the Mahatmyas, they constitute a huge body, but they're not considered separately because it's all in the Puranas. And then that has to be extracted from that. But if we were to take the Mahatmyas as one genre, one category within itself, it would constitute a huge, huge body of literature among the Vedic knowledge that is extant. Apart from the holy places like Kashi, Badrinath, Dwarka, Pushkar, so many, there are also Mahatmyas of Ganga and Narmada. What benefit you get from bathing in these rivers, from seeing the rivers, from thinking of the rivers. Yesterday I quoted that verse. Tirthanang smaranam punyam, darshanam papanashanam, snanam muktikaram. So there's smaranam, remembering the holy places, seeing the holy places, bathing in the holy places, and of course travel to the holy places, because you have to go there and travel. Even going is in itself a pious activity. And generally all the Mahatmyas, they describe tremendous benefits that you get from visiting such a place. The Phalashruti. It's technically called the Phalashruti. And at the end, all the different benefits you get from visiting, from bathing in this place, from seeing this place. And at the end of the Mahatmya, there comes the Phala Shruti of hearing the Mahatmya. So even if you don't visit the holy place, you just hear about it, that in itself is pious. Dashashvamedha Ghat in Varanasi. There are several Dashashvamedha Ghats here and there in different parts of India. So in Varanasi, that is the place where 10 horse sacrifices were performed by Lord Brahma. But if you simply bathe at that place, you'll get the benefit of yourself doing 10 Ashvamedhas. So if you bathe 10 times, you become eligible to become Indra, is it? Maybe not. People go bathe there every day, at least once a day, up to the present time, so many. Seeing the Narmada, simply seeing the Narmada River, gives the same benefit as bathing in the Ganga. Honoring Shiva in Ujjain, Avantika, is equal to a 1,000 years of performing austerities. At the Agni Tirtha, the Tapta Kund, the hot springs in Badrinath, not only do you get relief from the cold air all around, but you reap the merit of 3 years of the austerity of living by drinking only the water that falls from the tip of a kusha grass, which means you don't get much water to drink. First of all, you have to wait for it to rain, and then how much is going to fall. So it's a severe austerity, but you can just go and bathe in the Agni Tirtha at Badri. Of course, you've got to get there first. Nowadays, you can go by road with the bus. And it's very good for remembering God, going on the bus up to Badrinath. Because, you know, especially if the driver's drunk, they all seem to be drunk all the time, the way they drive, there's a fairly good chance of not making it up there. We went there, huh? Which year was that, in that old DCM Toyota? Early 1995. September, that was toward the end of the season. Who was there? Bhim Sain was there? Ramanuja from Australia was with us, yeah. Long time ago. So different Puranas, they deal with different holy places, the Mahatmyas they give. If you get a book in the holy place, it'll say such and such Mahatmya, Badrinath Mahatmya. And that will be in Hindi, usually on the cheapest paper possible, because it's supposed to be for village pilgrims. Most of the pilgrims who come. Well, actually it used to be, there was a time when it was mostly village people, and probably still is, because the village people still outnumber the city people. But you'll also find so many more sophisticated types going to the holy places. So that which you get, that's taken from the Mahatmya in the Puranas, which of course are in Sanskrit. And they summarize everything in there. So let's take a little survey of the Mahatmyas. Matsya Purana praises Prayag and Avimukta. Avimukta is another name for Varanasi. And describes more than 100 tirthas along the Narmada River. At that Gayatri Ashram in Bharuch, which is on the bank of the Narmada. It's not connected with the Gayatri Parivar in Haridwar. It's another one. So it's a print which is framed showing the whole Narmada. It's a map of the Narmada. And just trying to remember the name of the source, which I can't. And showing all the different holy places. I was surprised when I first saw that. So many different holy places are praised in the Puranas along the Narmada. And of course, Bharuch is one of them. Bhrigu Kach, the place of... the place where the descendants of Bhrigu Muni, namely the Shukracharya and all his clan, they were performing a sacrifice for Bali Maharaj, when Vamanadeva came there, and upset their plans. So that's an ancient holy place. There's one of them, Bhrigu Kach, nowadays known as Bharuch, on the bank of the Narmada. And simply by seeing the Narmada, one has the result of bathing in the Ganga, and just near to that Gayatri Ashram, there's the bridge, so day and night there's so much traffic going over there. Not now, maybe. So, at least in the daytime, so many people get darshan of Narmada. And just on the other side of the river from that Gayatri Ashram, there's the Shiva temple. Nilakant Mahadev, they've established there. So many people come and visit there. It's fairly modern, maybe. Sometime in the last century was established. And then if you go inside a bit, there's another old holy place. I can't remember them. There's so many. Then Vamana Purana describes in detail the tirthas of Kurukshetra. I read that fairly recently in the last couple of years or so. I read a translation of Vamana Purana. I was surprised. In Kurukshetra, so many things, so many holy places. We go there, we think, there's Bhagavad Gita and the gopis. Then Krishna went there, not just the gopis, there's all Krishna with all the yadus and the residents of Vrindavan came, but especially Krishna's interaction with the gopis there is especially touching. So we generally think of that, but there are so many holy places, so many in the whole area of Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra itself is holy by the grace of Kuru, but apart from that, so many places, mostly connected with Lord Shiva, those holy places. There are so many descriptions of how Kali, she fought and killed Mahishasura there, and so many things there. Vayu Purana describes in detail Gaya. Padma Purana, Pushkar. In Skanda Purana, massive Purana, just is by far the biggest of all Puranas in terms of the number of verses, and it only deals with different holy places, only deals with different tirthas. In Bengali, I saw many times. I never read it, but I saw it's very common in homes of pious people in the in Bengal, to see Skanda Purana, Prabhas Kanda. I never opened it to see what's in it. But there are various khandas or sections. Maybe I did, but I don't remember what's in it. In the first is Maheshwara Khanda, so that's quite obvious, that's describing. Holy places connected with Lord Shiva, especially Kedarnath, then Mahi Sagar Sangam, where the Mahi River meets the sea in the west. That must be in Gujarat. That Mahi River just goes just past Baroda. And what's the other one? And describes also Arunachalam. There's more than one Arunachalam, but it describes the one at Tiruvannamalai. So if someone was going to make the Mahatmya of Tiruvannamalai, they'll describe Lord Shiva. They'll probably describe Ramana Maharshi also. Maybe, you never know, one so-called Paramahamsa who's absconding. Did he come back to India? No. Found some girlfriends somewhere else. Then the second khanda, the Vaishnava khanda of Skanda Purana, describes Venkatachala, Venkatadrinath. So many names he has. Venkatanath. So you all know him very well. Purushottam, which, of course, the name Purushottam may apply to any form of Vishnu. And for that matter, the name Venkateshwar may also apply to any name of Vishnu, but specifically that form at Tirumalai or Tirumala. So Purushottam is the name of the Lord. Pratita Purushottama. That's we find in Bhagavad Gita, it's a very common name. But the specific, especially connected with Jagannath in Puri. So there's Venkatachala in the south, Purushottam in the east, Badrinath, Badrikashram in the north, and it also has the Mathura Mahatmya. And it describes also Ayodhya, then the Brahma Khanda. Among other things, praises Rameshwaram. The Kashi Khanda is very famous in all the Skanda Purana because it describes Kashi, which is very famous. And it's very elaborate. And there's so much in Varanasi. Like I said, in Vrindavan, if you had a team of scholars trying to cover everything, you couldn't finish in a lifetime. There's so many holy places, ancient history, modern history. Ancient history means from the Puranas, and then there's so many things. So Varanasi is similar like that also. So many things. And then there's the Kshetra of Kashi Kshetra, and then there's also, if you want to go a little bit outside that, and then opposite, the river, so many things, the history, and so many, many things. And also in the Kashi Khanda, there's extensive description of the glories of Ganga Mata. And that's also been added to by so many prayers in glorification of Ganga, the famous prayers of Shankaracharya, among others. Avanti Khanda describes Avanti, Ujjain, Ujjaini. There are various names given in the Puranas. Avantika, Ujjaini, nowadays known as Ujjain, with 84 Shiva Lingas and by far the most famous up to the present day is Mahakal. And generally we'll find that in the areas all around these places, people have a special devotion. I was describing how in all of Bengal, people, they love Nimai. So naturally we find throughout Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, even though the Venkatachal is in the deep south geographically of Andhra Pradesh, but there's people all over, they have devotion. All in the whole Telugu-speaking area and in the Tamil-speaking area, people have devotion to him. Particularly, and then people come from all over, from Maharashtra. The link is there. There's a daily train from Kolhapur to Tirupati because Lakshmi, the wife of Venkateshwara, she ended up in Kolhapur somehow or other. There's a story behind that also, behind everything. So the Mahakal is the most famous temple there in Ujjain, and all that area, it makes it a little difficult for us to preach in that area because the whole huge area around practically most of lot of Madhya Pradesh, people are really into Mahakala. And you go a little further south, we come down to the Narmada, and then there's Onkareshwara, another major place of Shiva worship. Then in the Avanti Khanda is also an extensive description of the Narmada, called there by its ancient name the Riva River. Then the Prabhas Khanda. Oh, here it describes. I never looked to see. I didn't see this either. The theatres of Western India. Prabhas Khanda describes Prabhas, Somnath, Prabhas, Somnath connected with Krishna, Somnath, Shiva and Prabhas, well, the departure of the Yadu dynasty from Prabhas. Description of Girna. That is a hill connected with Vishnu, but more prominently with Shiva, and Jains also claim that, and describes Dwaraka. Hare Krishna. Little verbal tour of the holy places, just cramming it all in. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kipa sindhu bhyavita patita nam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.